Although the clapping missed its beat once or twice, it was with joyous vigour. The little ones danced around, whooping and squeaking wildly. Martha was coaxed into singing the lively air again. She finished, quite out of breath, amid yells for a third performance. Torden took charge, slapping his rudder loudly on the bankside.
Hold up there, ye rogues! Poor Miss Martha's tuckered out! Now, listen to me. If you promise to be good, we'll have lunch out in the orchard today, seeing as 'tis sunny.
His suggestion was greeted with roars of approval.
Lunch in an orchard!
Martha smiled happily.
Oh, what a splendid idea.
Little Shilly sped off toward the abbey, calling to the other Dibbons.
Come on, we help Grandmum Gerville with lunch.
Torren watched them go.
I don't think old Gerville will thank me for letting that lot invade the kitchens.
Martha settled the big volume more comfortably on her lap.
Oh, bless their little hearts, they mean well.
Torren cast a glance at the hairmaid's book.
That's a heavy old thing to be reading, miss. What's it all about?
Martha opened the book at a page marked by a silken ribbon.
I borrowed it from Sister Portula's library. It's a rare and ancient account of Lone Hedge Mice.
The Otter Cook looked thoughtful.
Lone Hedge Mice, eh? I've heard of them. Weren't they the ones who helped to build our abbey? Oi, they were led by old Abbess Sir... what's her name?
Germaine.
The Hermaid corrected him.
It was she and Martin the Warrior who helped to build and design Redwall. Germaine and her followers once lived at the place they call Lone Hedge. It was a peaceful and prosperous community, almost as large as our abbey, some say, but they were forced to abandon it and flee for their lives. Lone Hedge was left deserted to the four winds.
Torren's interest was roused. Although he was no great reader himself, he liked to hear his friend tell of what she had read.
Why did they have to leave? Does the book explain?
Martha riffled back to a previously read page.
It says here that a great sickness fell upon Lone Hedge. A plague brought by vermin, possibly sea rats. First there was sickness, then a few deaths. Abbess Germaine was wise enough to realise that it would grow into an epidemic which would wipe them all out. So she took her mice and fled. They went wandering for many seasons far from home. One day their journey took them into this part of Mossflower territory. It was here they met Martin the Warrior and his friends. Germaine joined forces with the woodlanders, helping to rid the lands of powerful enemies. When peace was achieved, Martin and Germaine were free to realise their dream. They built a mighty stone fortress, an abbey where good beasts could live in safety and happiness together. That's how, countless ages ago, Redwall came into being.
Martha was interrupted by her brother Hortwill. He came bounding and splashing through the shallows and threw himself upon her.
What ho, me pretty young skin and blister!
She ducked her head, laughing as he showered her face with kisses.
Stop that this instant, Horty! I'm not your skin and blister, I'm your sister! Oh, look now, you've splashed water all over Sister Portula's precious book.
Hortwill Braybrook, or Horty, as every beast knew him, was Martha's brother. Older than her by two seasons, an overpowering character, a bullion's quaint of speech, always in trouble, he was roguishly gallant, sentimental to a fault, and possessed a gluttonous appetite. In short, a typical her. Throwing up both paws and ears in mock horror, Horty declaimed,
"Well, flog me twice round the jolly old orchard and chop off me ears with a rusty blinking axe, what? Splashed a belly spot of water on Sis Peculiar's blessed book. Lack-a-day, 50 seasons in the cellar for me. What say you, Torren old scout? Either that or instant death, what?
Torren played along with Horty's dramatic mood. Squinting an eye, he growled fiercely.
Instant death's the only thing.
The young hare threw him a smart military salute.
As you say, sir, sentenced to be carried out on the blinking spot.
Without further ado, Horty flung himself into the pond and vanished underwater, still saluting. Martha sat bolt upright in her chair.
Oh, the fool! Save him, Torren, quickly!
Lumbering into the ponds, the Otter Cook fished Horty out with one huge paw. Grinning like a mad beast and still saluting, Horty spouted a mouthful of water into the air.
Beloved blinking friend, you saved me life. I'll never forget you, and I'll always dine at your excellent kitchen.
Keeping a straight face, Torren looked at Martha.
We'd better chuck him back in, miss. Think of the food we'd save.
Martha nearly fell out of a chair with laughter.
Oh, no, please, sir. I beg you, spare his gluttonous young life.
Shooting a last jet of pond water skyward, Horsey said fondly,
A chap's confounded lucky to have such a merciful sister, what?
Torren growled as he frog-marched Horsey ashore.
You certainly are, matey. But if in all years you call in Sister Portula, Sis Peculiar again, back in the pond you'll go. Oi, and those two ripscuttle pals of yours, Springald and Fenner. A lesson in manners wouldn't harm him either.
Martha dabbed the book pages dry with her lap rug. She could never be angry with her boisterous brother. Horsey had always been close by, ready to cheer her up when she was sad or depressed. Her inability to run free like other young ones sometimes put Martha in low spirits. She held up the volume for Torren to see.
No harm done, really. It's perfectly dry now. Come on, you two. Let's go back to the Abbey.
On the way up, they met Muggum and several other Dibbons, who had been banished from the kitchens by Grandmum Gervil, the old assistant mole cook. Muggum tugged his snout respectfully to the hairmaid.
You're busy. I'll push ye to the orchard for lunch.
Reaching down, Martha lifted the mole babe onto her lap.
That's very thoughtful of you, Muggum, but I'm sure Horty and Torren can manage the job quite well.
Passing the young hairmaid's paw, the mole babe nodded sagely.
Oi, thank ye, Miss Mars. Come on, George, you'm pushing us faster than that. Us'n's be girtly hungered for lunch.